This morning, the scripture is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the failing and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow for the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. I don't know if you have noticed that, but songs have a way of reaching people, penetrating into the hearts and minds and souls of the people. And when we think about it, Christmas, the birth of our Savior, has all the song's implication. Here's what I mean. When Mary went to see Elizabeth, and when they recognized the child in Mary, and Mary was so filled with joy, that she said, as the scripture says, but it seems like it is more that she sang what we know as Magnificat. And for time being, I'm not going to read old or sing the old Magnificat, but this is a part of the song that Mary sang. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on the lowliness of His servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. So she sang the praise. And a little later on the same scripture, Zechariah have sang this song. If you remember, Zechariah couldn't believe that such an event would take place, that they would have their own child, John, as we know him as John the Baptist, and who will be for the forerunner for the Messiah. And Zechariah sang this song. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for He has looked favorably on His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke through the mouth of His holy prophets of the old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And once again, for time being, I will not sing all his songs, but he sang other songs. And when the Christ came, when the birth took place, the angel with the multitude of the heavenly host praised God, saying, the scripture says, but once again, it sounds like more that they sang. They were singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom He favors. And the song, the praise, continue in our scripture today. According to Luke, it is now 40 days after Jesus' birthday. After 8 days, Jesus must had his circumcisions, and the name was given, Jesus, which means He will save, according to Jewish law. Now, 32 days later, his parents are again performing their duty as faithful Jews by returning to the temple. This time, in order to offer a sacrifice and to consecrate their child to the Lord. They must have been in a reverent. And so for this very reason, they were perhaps startled, even frightened, when Simeon, old beyond years and beaming with ecstatic revelation, comes to them to touch the child, and then began his song. Simeon literally took him in his arms and praised God, singing, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory of your people, Israel. Simeon, in his sure exuberant, offered up a prayer of thanksgiving to God and prophecy concerning the child and his mother. Recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, he took the child in his arms and blessed God and singing his songs. Just imagine an old man who's been waiting for the Messiah to come, whose whole life was dedicated to see the consolation of Israel, and now he's holding that child, that Messiah, God, on his arms. Just imagine the song that is boiling up and bubbling up in his heart to sing all these songs. Then, a little later, Anna sings her song next. And hers are not songs of that, but of praise and thanksgiving. She too receives the Christ child as a sign that God keeps God's promises, and all she can do is respond with thanksgiving, with songs. You see, we are told that Anna was a prophetess. And like Simeon, she had this burden of waiting, anticipating for the coming of the Messiah. And she was looking for that day of the Lord when God would cleanse all their sins away. She was in prayers, fasting, and she was at least 84 years old by this time, and this is what she was doing, staying in the temple all her days, all her life, and she was waiting. And when she sees that Messiah, when the prophecy has been fulfilled, she has no choice but accept to praise, to sing her song. All these people are praising, singing their songs, for God has shown them favor. God has sent the Savior. Salvation has come. They have no choice except to praise, except to sing their songs of praise and thanksgiving and joy. And this is the case to all people throughout the history of our Christianity, that when we know that Christ has come, that God has sent the Savior, that salvation has come to us, that the favor has been extended to each one of us, they had no choice except to praise God and to sing their songs. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this should not be exception to us either. So we also sing, praise our songs, for God has sent us the Savior. Salvation has come to us. God has given us a favor to us. We have no choice but to sing, praise our songs. I know it is hard sometimes to sing our songs, to sing our praises, especially when we face our adversities, our Bethlehem. Chaos comes and despair arises and problems hits us so hard, and storms gushing at us, and troubles arise. But when we think about it, this is a Christmas story as well. When Christ was born, the herald ordered to kill the children in Bethlehem, that there was wailing for moms and their families of the massacre that they have experienced because Christ came. And for many people throughout the history, when they face the challenges and the predicaments in their life, simply because they confess and testify that Christ came in their life, that they accepted Christ as their Savior, especially because that Christ came to them, that Christ came in their life. And when we think about it, because Christ came to us, or comes to us, and He's in our lives, and that's when that the turmoil begins, because that we are fighting the principalities, evil forces, and wickedness of this world, and that they are throwing these challenges and curveballs at each one of us, because we have Christ in our lives. I was reading this article, so I would like to share this as a closing remark. It's been 28 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I know that they are downplaying what really took place, but this is the true story, and this is what took place leading up to the fall of the Berlin Wall. The citizens of Leipzig had a peaceful protest gathering on Monday evenings by candlelight around St. Nikolai Church. This is the church, ironically and intriguingly, that Bach was a musician at this church, composing so many of his cantatas, and the praise and songs came out of this church. And this is the church that people gather around and they would sing. And over 2 months of this period of time, that they started to sing a song of liberation and justice. And they began little less than 1,000 people in the beginning, but that grew to the hundreds of thousands by the time that the Berlin Wall finally fell down. The song shook the powers of their nation and changed the world, shook the foundation of their core, and broke down the communisms and any isms and ideology that hindered of the peace and justice. Sometimes after the fall, a journalist asked one of the commanders of the East German secret police why they hadn't crushed this protest like that had so many others. He replied, "We had no contingency plans for song." Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we start to sing, when we start to praise our songs, in the midst of our adversities, battling and chaos and despair and problems and storms and troubles in our lives, there's no contingency plans for these songs that we sing. When we start to sing our praises to God, for that God has shown us the favor by giving His Son, Jesus Christ, unto us. When we know that Christ came, the salvation has come to us, the Savior is with us and among us, there is no contingency of any problems whatsoever in our lives that can stop us from praising and singing our songs. Because we know that the Savior is with us, there is nothing more important, nothing more critical than having the Savior in our lives that bubbles in our hearts and that brews in our hearts, that we have no choice except to sing our songs and praise our God. So brothers and sisters in Christ, So let those songs grow and strong in us. So let the praises grow and strong in us. So let Christ grow and strong in us. Let us sing our songs of Christmas in the midst of all things that we go through in our lives. Now and forevermore, let us pray. Lord God, we have Christ. Christ is born. Christ there in our midst. What worries there? What problems? What storms there? Can we not venture, solve when you are with us? Well, Lord God, in the midst of all that we face, all the things that we may go through, the Lord, the biggest assurance that the Savior is with us. Salvation has come to us. The favor has been extended. Lord God, what else matters? And Lord, so we have no choice except to sing our songs and praise our songs. Lord, let these songs bubble up and continue in our lives. Lord God, let it come. Let it show. Let it be heard. The songs we sang. So Lord, that there is no contingency plans for anything and everything that might come on our way. Indeed, the evil forces, the wickedness, Satan might try to throw the things at us because to distract and to disturb and to destroy these great songs that we have in us. From us stopping, from singing of these praises and our songs of salvation and Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, doesn't matter, because we have Savior. Salvation has come. That's all that matters. Let us continue to sing. Let us continue to praise. Let Christ continue to grow and strong in us, in each one of us, especially in the year 2018 and forevermore. And we pray all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.